And as you're being seated, finding your place, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. Last Sunday morning, we looked at a thought, and it was, as I said last Sunday, it was a little bit of a scattered thought based on a song that last Saturday, as I was driving to and from Boston, as is my custom when I'm driving anywhere, I enjoy listening to gospel music and just enjoy spending that time with the Lord, thinking and praying. And he gave me the thought last week of the importance of church attendance. That sprung from a thought that I said we'll look at another time. And well, that other time is this morning. And so we're going to read our scripture, Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. And I'm going to actually play the song that spoke to me, and I pray that it will speak to you as well this morning. So Isaiah chapter 59, and notice there, if you would, verse number 1. Isaiah 59, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot save." You notice the phrase there, "neither his ear heavy." Every time we need to go to our God in prayer, he is always there, always available, always ready to listen. And as Christians, we're not just waiting on answered prayer, but as the title of the message says this morning, as the song says, we are living answered prayer. And so listen to the song, and I pray it'll be as much a blessing to you as it was to me.
Brought me to
There this morning in Isaiah 59, and I trust that the thoughts this morning will be a little less scattered than last week, but every Christian who has walked with God for any length of time, it doesn't matter if you have been saved for 1 month or many months, many years, there are no doubt times that you can look back in your life on nights of sorrows and seasons of uncertainty and moments when really you had no other option and all you knew what to do is to fall on your knees before God and go to God in prayer because He was the only one that could help you out of whatever it is, whatever the situation is that you were facing. And there were prayers that no doubt have been prayed in hospital rooms and funeral homes and empty churches and beside the bed late at night. And some of those prayers have, even if it doesn't seem like it, some of those prayers have already been answered, whilst others are still waiting on God's perfect timing. And make no mistake about it, God's timing is always perfect. He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. Whatever it is your need is this morning, God is always on time. He is never late. He is never early. So again, notice Isaiah 59, verse 1. The Bible says there, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Isaiah chapter 59 was written during what could be considered a very dark time, what could be considered a very dark period, a dark season, if we could put it that way, in the history of Judah. The people at this point had become frustrated because they had believed, wrongly so by the way, but they had believed that God had abandoned them. And so what they started to do was they started looking around at the wickedness and the injustice and the suffering in their nation, and they started to wonder, well, why has God not intervened? And very much the same way, you and I probably look at certain things that happen in our time and in our world today, and we wonder, well, why and where is God? And maybe we even can think at some point that God has abandoned us. But before Isaiah addressed the nation's sin, He reminded them of this important truth in verse number 1, that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it can save, his ear is not heavy, and that his ear can hear. That the same God was still the same God. So what was the problem? Well, here's what the people were facing. The problem was not that God had lost his power to save. The problem was not that God had become deaf to the cries of his people. God was very much still on the throne. God was very much still in control. His arm was still mighty and his ear was still very much open. But notice there, if you would, then in verse number 2. Or let's read verse number 1 again. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. So the people here in verse number 1, they were frustrated because they believed God had abandoned them. Isaiah tells them, God has not abandoned you. He can still save. He can still hear. But then notice verse number 2. But a small word with a large what's about to happen, what's about to follow. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Verse number 5, they have cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which he is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings, that they have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And it goes on like that in the verses following verse number 1. And Isaiah is explaining here that the issue was not with God's ability, but with the people's relationship with him. Their sin had hindered their fellowship with the Lord and brought judgment upon the nation. And you and I this morning need to be reminded that yes, we can be saved. And listen, we never lose that salvation, but we can lose that fellowship. We cannot be where we need to be with God. I use the example often of a parent and a child. When the parent has to correct the child, well, for a time that relationship is strained, but mom is still mom and dad is still dad to that boy or to that girl, and they're still son or they're still daughter. But the relationship has been strained because of the child's transgression and because of the correction that the parent had to apply to the child. Now, eventually they'll get back to where they were and that relationship will be mended. But for a time, there's a divide, there's a strain, there's a gap there. But the relationship is still there. They are still parent and child. And likewise, you and I are still children of God. But sometimes we sin. And that relationship that we have with God becomes strained and is not all that it is supposed to be. For the child of God today, Isaiah 59 and verse number 1 remains a wonderful reminder that our Heavenly Father has not changed. There's a song, He's the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever. Based on the verse in Hebrews. That's who our God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His hand is never too short to reach us in our need. And His ear is never too heavy to hear our prayers. Sometimes, though, we forget that the blessings we enjoy today are often the answers to prayers that we prayed years ago. And you're probably the same way. That, you know, sometimes we pray so much over the years that, you know, sometimes we forget what we prayed for. And then we stop to think and realize, wait a minute, God answered this prayer. And we need to be reminded this morning that we are not simply just a group of people who were waiting on prayers to be answered. We are living in the midst of prayers that have already been answered. And so with that truth and that thought in mind this morning, I want us to consider three things of what it means to be living answered prayers. What it means to be living answered prayers. Number one this morning, we see the reality of answered prayer. The reality of answered prayer, and this is just a very simple truth this morning, God hears His children. God hears His children. When you pray to God, wherever it is you are, whatever time of day it is, God answers your, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. He hears your prayers. We know He answers it, but when He answers it, that's a different timeline altogether. But when you pray, wherever it is you pray, whenever it is you pray, He answers your prayers. I'm saying that word again. He does answer our prayers. He hears our prayers. And so if you wake up at 2 in the morning, now unless it's like a dire emergency and you need to call the pastor, chances are you're not going to call the pastor at 2 in the morning. But you're going to pray to God. Well, at 2 in the morning, when you pray to God, He is going to be there to hear those prayers. He hears our prayers. Again, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Our Father's ear is not heavy. Heaven is not deaf and is never deaf to the cries of God's people. And you know, the sad reality, the sad truth is, you know, it would be great if, and maybe we do this, but we don't, I believe we don't do it all the time, or at least not the way we ought to do it, but oftentimes prayer begins in difficult places. Oftentimes we wait until there's absolutely nothing else we can do, and then we go to God in prayer. Years ago, my pastor, he always used to preach this truth, and he used it from the book of Job. In fact, turn to Job if you would there. Keep your finger in Isaiah. We'll be back. But Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, and notice there, if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent, and notice what this says, that Job sent and sanctified them, or set them apart, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. And here's the thought my pastor always preached. It was this idea of preventative prayer. Preventative prayer. In other words, what he meant by that was, you take problems to the Lord before they ever arise, before they ever come up. And here Job, he was taking his children before the Lord and saying, it may be. He had no evidence that they had sinned against God or cursed God in their hearts. But he said, it may be. And it says, and he did this continually. We need to be a people that before the problems ever come, that we say and we take things to the Lord and say, Lord, here's what may be coming up. I'm going to trust you with it instead of being and having reactionary prayers. But prayer often begins in difficult places. Psalm 34:17, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But on the opposite end of that spectrum is the truth that some of the sweetest answers come from the bitterest of valleys. And I didn't write this down, but it just came to me. But in the Old Testament, I believe it was Exodus, they were going to the land of Moriah, I believe it was. It meant the land of sweetness. They went from bitterness to sweet. And sometimes that's what you and I can do when we pray. We can go from the bitterness of life to the sweetness of life. And God often brings us to our knees so that He can lift our hearts. But here's the wonderful reality of the situation this morning, and that is God's answers always bring peace. So if you're anything like me, you hate waiting. I mean, that's just the society we live in today. We don't like waiting. I saw something yesterday. I don't know if it was a true story, but it was a relatable story. This fella, he went over to a Best Buy and he had to buy an SD card for his camera. It had to be a specialized SD card. And he got there at 10:15, right before or right after they opened, and went back to the SD card section. And he said he must have waited for a good 15 minutes, didn't get a lick of help or anybody come to see if he needed help. So finally he went and found the manager, and manager called for somebody and still nobody came. And so he left and went home and ordered it on Amazon, and he could have it delivered same day. And that's the society we live in today. You can get on Amazon and you know, here in our area, you can get on Amazon for certain items, and if you order it at a certain time, it can be delivered the same day because we have an Amazon facility fairly close. And saw another account, another started a small business that they make Highland cows and like little stuffed plushies. And the lady apparently placed an order on a Friday or a Saturday. And well, Sunday it still hadn't been shipped. It still hadn't gotten to her. And so she canceled the order because Amazon has gotten us into the mindset of either same day delivery or very next day delivery. We don't like to wait. And the same thing is true when it comes to our prayer life and our prayers. We pray and we want an answer by the time we say amen. It doesn't work that way. It almost never works that way. But when God does finally answer, and whether that answer is yes, whether that answer is no, or whether it's that dreaded wait some more, that can bring peace upon us because now we have the answer we have been searching for from God. Even if it wasn't the answer we wanted, we still got an answer from God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's a song that says, "God took all my need and gave true peace indeed." You know, sometimes God changes our circumstances. And we love that when God changes our circumstances. But then sometimes God changes us. And we don't like that too much. Because, you know, we think we're perfect just as we are. Newsflash, we're not. And so sometimes God has to take us and change us and mold us and make us into what He wants us to be because we need to realize we are not perfect. And we need to this morning consider the answered prayers in our own lives, salvation, our family, your church, the countless dangers God has delivered you from. Listen, we all have blessings that cannot be explained apart from God Himself. That the only possible explanation we have is that was God. That was the Lord. That was who it was. We see this morning the reality of answered prayer. But then secondly, we see the reminder of answered prayer. The reminder of answered prayer. And here's the reality of the reminder. Life is not free from heartache. Life is not free from heartache. We could probably spend a good amount of time this morning going around the room and saying, what problem did you have just this week? What trials did you have this week? And listen, they could be small, they could be big, they could be financial, they could be marital, they could be relationships, they could be career, they could be job, whatever the case is this morning. I mean, we could probably spend over an hour talking about the heartaches of life. Job 14:1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." What a verse that is. The fact that we don't get very long on this earth, and the few short years we do, it's full of trouble. Being saved does not exempt us from pain. Being saved does not mean we do not experience the results of a sin-sick, fallen world. Because we do. As Christians, we still experience loss. We still have people who we have loved in our life that has passed from this life to the next. We still experience sickness. We still experience disappointment. We still experience tears. But throughout that all, God's presence remains constant. Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. When I think I can't keep going, my precious Lord is always there. Yesterday's answered prayers become today's reminders that God is still faithful. You know, we often forget what God has already done. And we're no strangers to that, by the way. Israel, you read your Bible, you read the history of Israel. Israel repeatedly forgot God's goodness. Over and over again, they forgot how good God was to them. David encouraged himself, the Bible tells us, in the Lord. As Christians this morning, we need in our life to set up some spiritual memorials that remind us when things get rough and when life gets tough, that God has still been good and that God is still good. Because as much as it can hurt sometimes, looking backwards can help strengthen our faith for tomorrow. The God who answered before can answer again. Whatever your prayer is this morning, God can answer it again. The God who provided yesterday will provide tomorrow. Every answered prayer is evidence of God's faithfulness. We see the reality of answered prayer. We see the reminder of answered prayer. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the responsibility of answered prayer. The responsibility of answered prayer. When prayer is answered, answered prayer should then produce gratitude. Psalm 103 verse 2, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know what that means this morning? That we ought to thank God more than we complain. We're very good at the latter. We're very good at complaining. We're very good at finding fault. We're very good at voicing criticism and voicing complaints. But those should be outweighed by the thankfulness of a good God. Answered prayers should increase our trust. His way is best. And listen, and again, here's another very hard thing to understand, but we do not always understand God's timing. But we can trust who He is. We can trust His heart. And the prayers you pray today just very well may become tomorrow's testimony. But not only that, answered prayer should encourage others. And we need to ask ourselves, are we living answered prayer? Because, again, last week we looked at, I have the notes on my desk. We were Hebrews chapter 10. In fact, go over there if you would, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, And notice there, verse number 24. Hebrews 10:24, the Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And so last week we looked at that phrase, "consider one another." That phrase, "consider one another," just simply means that we get our eyes off of ourselves and we start to look around at everybody else around us. And we need to be reminded that someone around you is probably already praying the prayer that God has already answered in your life. But if your eyes are always on yourself, you'll never have your eyes on those around you, and you'll never see how you can encourage somebody around you. Your testimony can strengthen their faith. We need to just keep on praying. Luke 18:1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The prayers you pray today will let you sing tomorrow. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Every child of God has faced lonely nights and heavy burdens. And if you're here this morning, you say, "I've never faced those nights." Be encouraged. They are coming, because every Christian faces them. Yet through it all, our Father's ear has never been heavy, and his hand has never been short. Again, instead of having eyes on self, take some time, take a step back, look around at the blessings that God has given you. You are living prayers that somebody prayed. You are enjoying mercies that you did not deserve. You are standing because God has been faithful. Perhaps this morning you're here in church. Maybe you came in with a smile on your face. But maybe this morning you find yourself in the lonely state, in the lonely night stage right now. The encouragement is simple. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Because one day, by God's grace, you will look back and be able to say, "I'm loving, that I'm living answered prayers." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.